Caverly with the Divided Kingdom. Elizabeth Cuppert Caverly and I will be bringing you some quick snapshots of the Trump presidency, some more Ice Age info, and our main three topics, Monsanto, marijuana, and the Mad Hatter chemtrail meteorology. A December Fox News report was entitled, Trump, Mattis, Turn Military Loose in ISIS, Leaving Terror Caliphate in Tatters. The following is an excerpt. Hundreds of ISIS fighters had just been chased out of a northern Syrian city and were fleeing through the desert in long convoys, presenting an easy target to U.S. A-10 warthogs. But the orders to bomb the black-clad jihadists never came, and the terrorists melted into their caliphate, living to fight another day. The events came in August 2016. Even as then-Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump was vowing on the campaign trail to let generals in his administration crush the organization that, under President Obama, had grown from the JV team to the world's most feared terrorist organization. Trump named the legendary Marine Corps General James Mattis as Secretary of Defense. Just over a year later, ISIS has been routed from Iraq and Syria with an ease and speed that surprised even the men and women who carried out the mission. Experts say it's a prime example of a campaign promise kept. President Trump scrapped his predecessor's rules of engagement, which critics say hamstrung the military, and he let the battlefield decisions be made by the generals in the theater and not bureaucrats in Washington. At its peak, ISIS held land in Iraq and Syria that equaled the size of West Virginia, ruled over as many as 8 million people, controlled oil fields and refineries, agriculture, smuggling routes, and vast arsenals. It ran a brutal, oppressive government, even printing its own currency. The terror organization now controls just 3% of Iraq and less than 5% of Syria. President Trump gave a free hand to Mattis, who in May stressed military commanders were no longer being slowed by Washington decision cycles, or by the White House micromanaging that existed under President Obama. Marine Colonel Seth Folsom, who oversaw fighting in Al-Qaim near the Syrian border, said, quote, I never felt constrained. In a lot of ways, I felt quite liberated because we had a clear mandate and there was no questioning that.
There's a cartoon in our local newspaper by Collinger, and it shows Rachel Maddow, and she looks just like Elvis, but with glasses, and she's saying the stock market will crash under a Trump presidency. In contrast, we have a column by David Harsanyi, and he is the senior editor at The Federalist, and he is the author of The People Have Spoken, and They Are Wrong. Economists say a lot of things. Many are wrong, and this was Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. A wave of optimism has swept over American business leaders, and it is beginning to translate into the sort of investment in new plants, equipment, and factory upgrades that bolster economic growth, spurs job creation, and it may finally raise wages significantly, opens a recent New York Times article surveying the state of the American economy. One imagines that readers of the esteemed paper were surprised to run across such a rosy assessment after having been bombarded with news of a homicidal Republican tax plan for so many weeks. But not to worry. Over the next few thousand words, the authors do their best to assure readers that neither deregulation nor tax cuts are really behind this new economic activity, even if business leaders keep telling them otherwise. For example, they claim that, quote, there is little historical evidence tying regulation levels to growth. A few paragraphs later, we again learn that, quote, the evidence is weak that regulation actually reduces economic activity or that deregulation stimulates it, end of quote. A reporter without an agenda might have written that evidence was arguable, because I bet I could corral a bunch of economists to tell you that lowering the cost of doing business spurs economic activity quite often. And though the Trump administration somewhat overstates its regulatory cutbacks, it has stopped hundreds of Obama-era regulations from being enacted. Even better, it has stopped thousands of yet-to-be-invented regulations from ever being considered. There's plenty of evidence in the article and elsewhere that this kind of deregulation has plenty to do with investment and job growth. There is also plenty of evidence that econ reporters at major publications have spent the past decade propping up economists who tell them what they want to hear. That is to say, they prop up economists who obsess over inequality rather than economic growth, who worry about the future of labor unions or climate change or whatever policy liberals happen to be plying at the moment. There are plenty of economists out there making good arguments for the free market who will never be a member of the Economists Say clique. For 8 years, we consistently heard about how economists say everything Democrats were doing was great, even when hundreds disagreed. Unsurprisingly, economists were wrong about a lot. The rosy prediction set by President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors regarding that stimulus, the administration's prediction of 4.6% growth by 2012, and the Congressional Budget Office predictions about Obamacare were all way off base. There are thousands of unknowns that can't be quantified or computed, including human nature. But after decades of using data to help us think about goods, services, jobs, consumption, and our choices, economists say is now used to coat liberal policy positions with a veneer of scientific certitude. And since Democrats began successfully aligning economics with social engineering, we've stopped seriously talking about the trade-offs of regulation. A good example of this trend is the push for a $15 minimum wage, an emotionally satisfying, popular, and destructive policy idea. Most cities that have passed the hike have experienced job losses. When researchers at the University of Washington studied Seattle's $15 minimum wage hike, one of the largest in the nation, they found that thousands of fewer jobs were created and thousands of people lost hours of work, making them poorer. No doubt a lot of people were surprised. Vox, a leading light in the liberalism masquerading as science genre, ran an article headlined, "The Controversial Study Showing High Minimum Wages Kill Jobs Explained." You might wonder why incessantly quoted studies from liberal, quote, nonpartisan groups that falsely predicted minimum wages wouldn't hurt cities aren't controversial. Because if you want to raise the minimum wage, you will raise the price of labor and often reduce the amount of labor that's going to be hired. That's the trade-off. For decades, most economists agreed. While most economists I've known are relatively humble about forecasting, the ones who aren't get most of the press. And so, you know, this article continues how we've been getting this false mantra all the time. And we are going to get a lot of lies and disinformation about these tax cuts. He is saying certainly the economy doesn't have the room to grow that it had in 2007 or 2012, but so far neither deregulation nor tax cuts are a panacea, but businesses have already acted on deregulation and corporate tax cuts. Dozens of companies announced they would hand out bonus checks to hundreds of thousands of workers before the corporate tax cut was even signed into law. Perhaps these corporations only did it all to gain favor with the administration. Hey, some people suck up the government by cutting bonus checks for their workers, and some people make electric cars no one wants. The fact is that deregulation and tax cuts matter. We already have evidence. We just don't give voice to the economists who would tell us so. And we want to recap very quickly another article that shows success for the Trump administration. And it doesn't matter what columnists like Mark Shields say. He has a new column out quoting some other reporter who's been around for about 50 years, and this reporter has this big psychological theory that Trump is a narcissist and that he doesn't get along well socially with anybody, and he has his children surrounding him because they're just a safe extension of him. And he goes on and on with this. And as proof for this, quote, narcissism, he lists things that are all part of a populist platform coming out of the Paris Climate Treaty, the TPP, it may not be mentioned, but all of these things you see that you and I, as conservative, freedom-loving Americans, would say are far from narcissistic. Trump has had to pay a big price emotionally, physically, to stand up against these globalists. So if anyone's a narcissist, it's on the other side. So very quickly, January 9th, Tuesday, TNS, Jay Ambrose was talking about how Obama failed to stop crime and Trump succeeded. Our 30 largest cities saw an average increase in homicides of 13.2% in 2015 and of 14% in 2016. That is a lot of blood in the street, a lot of dead men, women, and children. This was mostly black people killing other black people. And so there were explanations given from Heather McDonald, a fellow at the Manhattan Institute think tank. And she said that the violent crime increased markedly following the 2014 Ferguson, Missouri shooting, in which the policeman killed the young black man. But false stories were out there, leading to fierce anger in black communities. And, of course, this writer, Jay Ambrose, says there are bad racist cops. We think of what happened to Freddie Gray in Baltimore. We think this was atrocious, hauling him around without restraints when he had a terrible back injury. Just a horrible thing. But there are many good cops. Beleaguered cops became less proactive, as in not checking out a gathered group on a corner where drugs were often sold. The practice was pretty much eliminated in Baltimore. And as McDonald tells us, drug dealers spread their wares like never before. Another proactive practice had been stop and frisk. The National Academy of Sciences, which earlier could find no evidence for gun control measures working, found this particular one did. McDonald believes it was important in helping to save large numbers of lives. In short, less proactive police meant more crime, but then came Trump, someone who supported police, who spoke out in their favor. And Jay Ambrose says, I myself saw how this could work when I went to see a Trump campaign speech in Denver. Police were there to safeguard the audience and speakers from shouting, teeth-baring demonstrators. And they kept saying thank you and other nice things to the ticket holders. One black cop even jokingly volunteered to give me a sandwich for lunch. Not in all cities, but in many of the largest ones, homicides and crime generally have gone down in 2017. While some of the cities themselves have taken important steps, don't leave Trump out of the equation, especially considering his support for going after gangsters engaged in human trafficking, for grants for more police and for supplying police with needed equipment. The biggest beneficiaries are the communities that have been ravaged by homicide. And now we want to move on to one of our main topics, the expose on Monsanto. And we see that on the eastern shore of Maryland, and this was in November, there was a big picture of an oversized check and this big grant to a local school system. $25,000 was given by agrochemical company Monsanto, and it was given to the public school's agriculture program. And that seems very interesting, doesn't it? And supposedly this could help them enhance math and science education, and they were going to upgrade the laboratory equipment. And of course, there's a lot of agriculture that goes on here, but it's very interesting. They had a spokesman there who said the grant will help the school system fund some of its laboratory functions of the program, in which students learn how to sequence DNA, perform biochemical investigation and research on biotechnology, a little bit of everything. So maybe we're going to have our students there genetically modifying the soybeans and the corn. Gosh. Lou, let's hear from the investigative report from Caritech. I believe that it is Caritech Health Report, November of 2017.
This is entitled The Monsanto Whitewash. And the subtitle says, Reporter Risks All to Expose Monsanto's Propaganda Mill. and how it keeps the public ignorant about its poisonous products, crimes. 55 years after Rachel Carson in Silent Spring warned about the dangers of DDT and unchecked pesticide use, a former Reuters reporter is raising the red flag about the pesticide treadmill we can't get off. In Whitewash, the story of a weed killer, cancer, and the corruption of science, that's from Island Press, 2017, investigative journalist Carrie Gillum lays bare details about the 40-year push to prominence of the world's most popular pesticide, glyphosate, known commonly as Monsanto's Roundup. Gillum is currently research director at U.S. Right to Know. Gillum says that glyphosate is the most widely used agrochemical in history, a pesticide so pervasive it's in our air, our water, our food, and even our own bodies. In Whitewash, Gillum explores the legal claims of thousands of Americans who believe Roundup caused their cancers and exposes the influence of a multi-billion dollar industry that has worked for decades to keep consumers in the dark and regulators in check. Gillum unveils industry communications and regulatory documents that reveal corporate ties to a cast of players, from journalists and regulators to mommy bloggers and scientists at public universities. Gillum traces what she calls the, quote, corruption of science, unquote, uncovering stories of how agribusiness has taken advantage of, quote, unquote, useful government employees and censored or discredited scientists to bury evidence of harm. Gillum shows how political influence has been at work for years in regulatory agencies such as the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, and the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, the very agency created as a result of Carson's findings in her book, Silent Spring. Both the EPA and the European Commission are currently analyzing whether to keep glyphosate on the market or limit its use. And U.S. cancer claims are moving closer to trial amid rising global interest in the truth about this deeply pervasive pesticide. In 2015, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, part of the World Health Organization, came to the conclusion that glyphosate is probably carcinogenic. What follows is an interview corporate crime reporter conducted with Gillum. And corporate crime reporter is referred to here as CCR. CCR's questions are in boldface, and Gillum's responses follow. First question, what do you mean by the corruption of science? Answer, we have dug up documents through the Freedom of Information Act and state record requests, and we have documents that now come to light in litigation that is now pending against Monsanto. It is an eye-opening, jaw-dropping trove of evidence that Monsanto has been working very hard over many years to bury evidence of harm from this chemical and trumpet their own research. The documents show that Monsanto has put together an army of surrogates and soldiers, professors, academics, people who appear to be independent of Monsanto, but who, in fact, behind the curtains are having money funneled to their organizations, to their universities, to their research programs. In exchange, some of them are having Monsanto write the presentations that they deliver. They are taking drafts that Monsanto will put together, and their name will be put on an independent positive review of glyphosate. In fact, Monsanto wrote it. That is not disclosed anywhere. The documents show that Monsanto used the term ghostwriting for certain research papers. They essentially bring scientists on, pay the money, and put the names on research reports. But Monsanto does the writing and the editing. Monsanto lays this out in internal documents. You could go on and on. One that sticks with me is a case where Monsanto wanted to set up an organization that would appear to be independent of Monsanto. that would write reports or stories that would criticize scientists or journalists or others who were writing things not positive about glyphosate or GMOs. In their emails, they say, "You can't let anybody know Monsanto is behind this. We have to keep Monsanto in the background." And they formed that organization, and it has been up and running and doing what they wanted to do, attacking the credibility of scientists and others who raised questions about Monsanto and glyphosate. Question: what about reporters? Monsanto has made a concerted effort to train reporters on how to report on the industry. They are holding boot camps and bringing in these supposedly independent professors and others to train these reporters how to think about the science and the issues. They are trying to influence press coverage. When they realized that I wasn't going to follow the corporate narrative, they tried to pressure and bully me. They will offer exclusives and lure in journalists that will give them stories that will make the journalists look good in the eyes of their editors. As long as the reporter sticks to a certain narrative, they are fine. They bully reporters who don't follow the narrative. I was told more than once or twice that there were no facts wrong in my story. They said that the problem with my stories was something called false balance. I should not be presenting two sides to a story. I should only be presenting their side. Question: who told you that? I heard that from Monsanto PR people. I heard it from the industry public relations people at BIO, at Bio. I heard it from numerous players from Monsanto and the chemical industry. They wrote about this in one of the documents. They called it Kerry Gillum and False Balance. They accused me of presenting both sides when only one side was valid. Question: when did you leave Reuters? Right, late 2015. Why did you leave? The industry pressure was part of the reason. It became increasingly difficult to convince editors that the stories were valid. During the first 12 to 13 years, I had a solid editor who wasn't afraid of industry criticism, who wasn't afraid of pressure. The editorial management changed in the last couple of years before I left. It was just different. I had an editor who didn't have a background in agriculture, didn't know the industry at all, who told me, for instance, that glyphosate wasn't a big story, wasn't going to be a story. Nobody was concerned about glyphosate. That was shortly before 2015, when the International Agency on Research on Cancer Classification became top news around all around the world. It was becoming difficult to do my job, so I went somewhere where I could do my job. Question: you use the term corruption of science, but what about corruption in government? Why hasn't the government acted forcefully and moved against glyphosate? There is a long history within the Environmental Protection Agency of protecting corporate interests. Of course, it all comes back to money. And in some of the documents, Monsanto was clear: we want the EPA to do this one thing. And Monsanto spends a lot of money on lobbying and campaign contributions. And we are going to lean on these lawmakers. And they are going to lean on these publicly appointed officials within EPA. And they are going to tell the EPA, we want this to happen. And you see that in these internal documents. There is also the revolving door. When officials leave the EPA, they can get lucrative jobs within the chemical industry, if they are friendly, if they are useful. There was an EPA official overseeing the glyphosate cancer review. He left the EPA and almost immediately started getting work with the chemical industry. And Monsanto loved this guy. They talked about it in their internal documents, how useful he could be, and how they wanted him to be the one they were dealing with instead of somebody else in the glyphosate issue. There were three top EPA officials that Monsanto went to try and kill a glyphosate review by another federal agency. They didn't want it. They said they were worried that this other federal agency would agree with the International Agency for Research on Cancer and find problems with glyphosate. And they asked the three top people at EPA to help kill the review. And those guys jumped right on it and killed it. I don't know. Is that corruption? Is that collusion? Is that collaboration? Is that just good buddies? I don't know, but it seems to have served the corporation better than it served the public. Question, what is the status of the private litigation against Monsanto? There are about 3,000 plaintiffs around the United States who are suing Monsanto, alleging that Monsanto knew and covered up the evidence that its glyphosate gave them or their loved ones cancer. Obviously, some of these people have died, and so their family members have sued. Some of them are alive and suffering from cancer right now. Several hundred of those lawsuits have been consolidated in federal court in California. And that's where we have seen the bulk of these discovery documents come to light. And Monsanto has been fighting tooth and nail to keep them secret and keep them sealed. And it has been a real battle in the courts. But they have gotten several hundred pages of documents unsealed. Question, have any of these cases been settled or gone to trial? No, the first trials are set for June 2018. Question, when was the first case filed? The first cases were filed in 2015 after the International Agency for Research on Cancer classified glyphosate as probably carcinogenic. The lawsuits have been mounting rapidly. There have been cases filed almost every week. The International Agency for Research on Cancer found the most positive link between glyphosate and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. All of these plaintiffs are suing over non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Question. I see on your website that you will appear before the European Parliament next month. What will you be saying? The agenda has changed a couple of times. Monsanto Chairman Hugh Grant was invited to be on a panel discussion with me before the European Parliament members, and he declined to attend. They are changing the discussion a bit. The discussion is supposed to be about EPA regulations and how the science has been handled and how the regulation has been handled. I will be addressing that topic, what we have uncovered, the arm twisting, and the influence that Monsanto has brought to bear upon the agency that makes determinations about the safety of the chemical.
Such an important program, because your life and your children's and your grandchildren's, they're at stake. We do hope you will visit our archives, thedividedkingdom.com, thedividedkingdom.org, and it, again, we thank LWRN.net, Liberty Works Radio Network, for carrying our program on Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And we thank WWCR for our Thursday night slot at 8 o'clock Eastern Time on 4.840 megahertz and on the Internet. And we thank Global Star Communications. We have so much important data for you, because you must know that the truth will set you free, and you can stay healthier to face things if you don't take the vaccines. You don't want that flu vaccine. But we must realize that America is probably under judgment because of what we're doing in our foreign policy. Here we have just a little blurb from Time Magazine, July 3rd, 2017. Shasta Hakim says it's a silent tsunami. Drug rehabilitation specialist in Kabul explaining the sharp increase in recent years of opium addiction, now affecting not just Afghan men, but also women and children, as poppy production has returned in the war-torn nation. Hakim continued, in another few years, it will be a disaster. And you see, it's like a boomerang. What we give out, we get back. So we have California's first retail cannabis stores opening on January 1st. We have a lot of information on the marijuana, and it may have to go to about 3 weeks away. We can see these Nazi-like things that are in motion. This Monsanto, it's just very much like the T4 euthanasia program, weeding out the weak, weeding out the people who are not suspecting it. There was a July 2nd little blurb in Time magazine 2017. Nazi artifacts found in Argentina. A trove of about 75 suspected Nazi artifacts, including a bust of Adolf Hitler, was discovered in a secret room accessed by a hidden passageway in a collector's home in Becar, Argentina. Authorities believe that the items had belonged to high-ranking Nazis. We have one of them yet today, one of the collaborators, and that is George Soros. And with his funding to the Antifa and the leftist groups, Weatherman connected groups who want to take down our beloved America, we have these hidden Nazi forces there. They're still there. So it's very important that you know, as a Christian, should these times come upon us unexpectedly, how you would survive trusting in Jesus Christ. We are going to have the two-part interview with Holocaust survivor. She's now 90 years old, Anita Dittman, and she still speaks to groups in Minnesota. And her wonderful book is Trapped in Hitler's Hell. And you can get it from lighthousetrails.com. Al Cuppet says it's the best book he ever read. Anita wrote it in collaboration with Jan Markell. So we do hope you will tune in for the two parts of that unforgettable two-part interview. And so now we must move now quickly because we will postpone the marijuana and some very vital updates on the Ice Age sun spot topic, but we now have to move to the Nazi thing that's going on overhead, the chemtrail situation. November 2017, the prophetic observer from Southwest Radio Ministries, and if you want their telephone number, it's 1-800-652-1144, and I'm going to repeat that because when you hear this, you may want to try to order a reprint of this publication. You can get 25 copies for $5 and $3 for shipping. You could phone them and talk to them about it. It's 1-800-652-1144. So Lou and I are going to tell you what Jerry Tyson had to say. This was the Prophetic Observer, November 2017. Consider the weather. The summer of 2017 will not soon be forgotten as a chain of intense hurricanes hit Texas, the Caribbean islands, and Florida. As this is being written in October of 2017, the hurricane season is not over, and no one can tell if there will be more. Now, add fires on the West Coast in water-deprived areas and nonstop earthquakes in the Yellowstone caldera. Yellowstone is a volcano that has not erupted with fury, but could at any time. With so many, quote, natural events happening in such a short period of time, we ask, what is going on? Why is all of this happening? You will need to draw your own conclusions after you read the following. Some believe the problems we have seen are not natural, but man-made. Patents and trademarks going back to 1891 form a link between recent events and those who may be using tools at their disposal to control our weather and natural earth forces. Google weather control patents. And before he presents the official patent names, number, and dates of issue, I'm looking here on Tuesday, January the 9th, 2018, Seth Bornstein, AP Science Writer, has the headline, U.S. hits record for costly weather disasters, $306 billion. With three strong hurricanes, wildfires, hail, flooding, tornadoes, and drought, the United States tallied a record high bill last year for weather disasters, $306 billion. The U.S. had 16 disasters last year with damage exceeding $1 billion. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said Monday that ties 2011 for the number of billion-dollar disasters, but the total cost blew past the previous record of $215 billion in 2005. Now back to Jerry Tyson's list of the official patent names, number, and date of a few. Lou, let's get that.
Let's see. March 24th, 1964, silver iodide cloud seeding generator. September 28th, 1971, methods of treating atmospheric conditions. October 19th, 1971, weather modification method. May 22, 1973, combustible compositions for generating aerosols, particularly suitable for cloud modification and weather control and aerosolization process. December 8, 1971, weather modification utilizing microencapsulated material. March 3, 1972, solar temperature inversion device. March 5th, 1974, weather modification process. June 4th, 1974, rocket having barium release system to create ion clouds in the upper atmosphere. July 29th, 1975, process for local modification of fog and clouds for triggering their precipitation and for hindering the development of hail producing clouds. August 12, 1975, apparatus for generating ice nuclei, smoke particles for weather modification. August 12, 1975, powder contrail generation. September 11, 1984, method of and means for weather modification. August 11, 1987, HAARP patent, that's H-A-A-R-P, Eastland patent. Method and apparatus for altering a region in the Earth's atmosphere, ionosphere, and or magnetosphere. October 17, 1989, nuclear-sized explosions without radiation. March 12, 1991, creation of artificial ionization clouds above the Earth. March 26, 1991, stratospheric Welsbach seeding for reducing global warming. August 15, 1995, tropical cyclone disruption. June 9, 1998, use of artificial satellites in Earth orbits adaptively to modify the effect that solar radiation would otherwise have on Earth's weather. November 16, 1999, weather modification by artificial satellite. May 10, 2005, method for extracting and sequestering carbon dioxide. January 12, 2010, RFID environmental manipulation.
And you can hear in some of those things, you heard the word barium. Barium is absolutely toxic to all of us. Aluminum is part of all of this soup of poison. Mycoplasmic fungi spores, all of these things, JP8 jet fuel being dumped, a diethylene bromide. All these things are toxic. And we ask, why is this going on? Just like, why is Monsanto doing what it does? Because we have a new world order from Satan rising. And if you do not want to protect your families by coming under the protection of Jesus Christ, then you're fools. You are truly fools. We can have all the men in the world of power thinking that they have it all under control. The latest Time magazine has Bill Gates as the guest editor, and he's talking about the great progress in the world. And part of that progress, he says, is the greater number of countries in which gays are legal now. Gay people can be married, and it's legal. But we can see that from his point of view, that makes a lot of sense. It's progress. And in the same issue, his wife has an excellent article on helping women's equality throughout the world. Now, that's a noble goal, if that's really the intent. But we can also see that this is a different system of belief than those who believe in the Bible and believe that God's word is true and it's inerrant, and so that gay marriage is not sanctioned by God. In other words, we're living under humanism. That's what we really are under when Thomas Jefferson took the Bible and he decided he didn't like parts of it and he would cut and paste. It says in the Bible what happens to people who do that. You see, we cannot worship any kind of political system or humanism because look at your days, look at my days. They're all numbered. And what are we going to do with our time? Are we going to try to be omnipotent? Bill Gates wants to investigate what happens with Alzheimer's, and there must be a family connection. I would say to him, repent, go back to Jesus Christ, go to a church. If your wife is a Roman Catholic, go to her church. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Be born again, because then you know that you're under the greatest power of the universe. Jesus was here beginning before time, really. But these things that evil powers are doing, there are demonic spirits back of them, absolutely, and it's a mass depopulation plan, as you can see if you visit Elberton, Georgia, and look at the Georgia Guidestones. But which are you going to choose? As for me and mine, we're going to serve the Lord. Back to Jerry Tyson, note how many times the words alter, manipulation, modification, production, producing, generating, in similar terms appear. The original list was close to 100 patents, especially 2550324, April 24th, 1951. Process, whether... I have to interject here. Lou and I were shocked when we watched this old movie, Tender Mercies, with Robert Duvall. And we'd have to look again. My memory now is that the copyright was around 1979, something like that. I believe it was actually before the 80s. We could see clearly the chemtrails in the sky when they were on location there and made that movie, Tender Mercies. So you can see here, this thing has been going on a long time. The online article, and this is back to Jerry Tyson, by Mark Salvo, September 22nd, 2017, and this comes from freedomoutpost.com, sparked this article. Climate change, paranoia that man is killing himself and Mother Earth by our foolish misuse of resources, has brought the Oxford Geoengineering Program to claim manipulation is all done in the name of counteracting the invented science of climate change. The article asks the question, could the world's governments use this technology to cause destruction? Certainly appears that not only is the answer yes, but also that they already have. The earliest listed patent was designed to manipulate weather. The description of method of producing rainfall describes cloud seeding, or the ability to produce more rain. The patent is credited to Louis Gathman of Chicago, Illinois. On August 6, 1913, a patent was granted to James M. Cordray for a rainmaker balloon able to produce rain at any given time, even during drought. A 1951 patent filed in the United States Patent Office by Harvey M. Brandow of Wilton, Wisconsin, to specifically modify weather process for controlling weather was officially filed on April 24, 1951. From the actual paperwork of the patent, these are key items. This invention relates to a process for affecting changes in weather conditions, a process for dissipating clouds and fog by clearing the atmosphere of moisture particles. The overall object of the present invention is directed to the control of weather conditions generally. Another object of this invention is the control of weather by dissipating typhoons, hurricanes, and other storm centers by the dissipation of clouds forming the weather phenomena. The control of weather causing snow and sleet in heavily populated areas where large quantities are particularly undesirable. The process of dissipating weather frontal systems which cause floods due to continuous rains. To provide rain in designated areas by use of my weather control processes to provide desirable weather for activities which require good weather. While understanding the text of the patent would require a meteorology degree, this synopsis is clear. The present invention proposes to utilize a process in which this type of cloud can be dissipated and completely dissolved before it has had the opportunity to complete its violent activity. And after having been removed, it will increase the amount of safety with which airplane flights can be made. It will also reduce the amount of damage that will be done by such a storm and further serve to reduce the amount of rain and hail. He described several experiments where he flew above various cloud systems and dispersed them by dropping ice chips into the clouds, causing the clouds to condense and rain themselves out of the sky, and other times where he was able to create clouds to minimize solar heat at the ground level. Brandow was the first, but not the last, to file a patent for weather modification. By the 1970s, biologically active chemicals began to appear, as well as patents for altering precipitation by artificial means. And then he gives some websites you can Google for this. Most notable at weather manipulation and even national defense is a patent filed August 11, 1987 for HARP, or High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, at a remote installation in Alaska. The patent description notes an invention designed to alter at least one selected region normally existing above the Earth's surface by initially transmitting electromagnetic radiation from the Earth's surface through the region or regions to be altered. Another result could be, quote, established at selected locations for communication modification or other purposes. Back in the late 1950s, naturally occurring belts of charged electrons and ions were discovered at high altitudes over the Earth. Effort has been focused on, quote, possible ways to control and use these phenomena for beneficial purposes. In recent years, a number of experiments have actually been carried out to modify the ionosphere in some controlled manner to investigate the possibility of a beneficial result. Simply stated, the Earth's magnetic field can be compared to a dipole bar magnet. As such, the Earth's magnetic field contains numerous divergent field or force lines, each line intersecting the Earth's surface at points on opposite sides of the equator. The magnetic force lines that radiate from pole to pole are manipulated most effectively. It described an extensive array of antennas designed to produce electromagnetic radiation strong enough to change and move the layers of the atmosphere directly above the installation. A brief summary of the patent. In Alaska, the right type of fuel, natural gas, is naturally present in large amounts and at just the right magnetic latitudes for the most efficient practice of this invention. When the atmosphere above the antenna array is heated, it will move further away from the Earth and allow the ability
to modify or disrupt microwave transmissions of satellites. This can cause confusion of, or interference with, or even complete disruption of guidance systems employed by even the most sophisticated of airplanes and missiles. The ability to employ and transmit over very wide areas of the Earth a plurality of electromagnetic waves of varying frequencies and to change same at will in a random manner provides a unique ability to interfere with all modes of communications, land, sea, and or air, at the same time. Such wide-ranging and complete communication interference can be achieved in a reasonably short period of time. Thus, this invention provides the ability to put unprecedented amounts of power in the Earth's atmosphere at strategic locations and to maintain the power injection level, particularly if random pulsing is employed in a manner far more precise and better controlled than heretofore accomplished by the prior art, particularly at the detonation of nuclear devices of various yields at various altitudes. This allows the establishment of precisely controlled and long-lasting effects, which cannot simply be waited out. Further, what is used to disrupt another's communications can be employed as a communications network at the same time. In addition, once one's own communication network is established, the far-reaching extent of the effects of this invention could be employed to pick up communication signals of others for intelligence purposes. Missile or aircraft destruction, deflection, or confusion could result. Also, large regions of the atmosphere could be lifted to an unexpectedly high altitude so that missiles encounter unexpected and unplanned drag forces with the resultant destruction or deflection of the same. Weather modification is possible. Transportation of entities can also be realized when advantage is taken of the drag effects. For example, a plume of tacky particles could be established to increase the drag on a missile or satellite passing there through. focusing a vast amount of sunlight on selected portions of the Earth. Surveys of global scope could also be realized because the Earth's natural magnetic field could be significantly altered in a controlled manner. The Earth's magnetic field could be decreased or disrupted at appropriate altitudes to modify or eliminate the magnetic field. For example, the plasma sheath surrounding a missile or satellite could be used as a trigger for activating such a high-intensity field to destroy the missile or satellite. Further, irregularities can be created in the ionosphere, which will interfere with the normal operation of various types of radar. Still further, plumes, in accordance with the present invention, can be formed to simulate and or perform the same functions as performed by the detonation of a quote-unquote heavy-type nuclear device without actually having to detonate such a device. Thus, it can be seen that the ramifications are numerous, far-reaching, and exceedingly varied in usefulness. While HOP has Star Wars military ramifications that are interesting as we consider the current threats from Kim Jong-un, the missile man from North Korea, it is, quote, considered by many to be a covert weather manipulation program, and most who dare to look into the program are immediately dubbed conspiracy theorists. But this particular patent proves weather modification, or I should say manipulation, is a reality. And since this is true, it is no longer a conspiracy theory, it's a conspiracy fact. Its very title explains that the purpose of the HARP patent is to serve as, quote, a method and apparatus for altering a region in the Earth's atmosphere, ionosphere, and or magnetosphere. These patents suggest that humans can manipulate the intensity and frequency of hurricanes, such as we have seen in 2017, even including the path the storm should take. While those of us outside the locked doors of those in power can't prove it, the HARP patent clearly suggests the possibility, even probability, that this technology is currently in full operation in Alaska.
On August 30th, 2017, Mike Adams published a report at naturalnews.com. We're bringing this claim to your attention because a growing number of observers, websites, and analysts are concluding that Hurricane Harvey was engineered and made into a weather weapon through a combination of ground-based temperature manipulation tools and chemtrail seeding. Yes, it sounds absurd at first until you realize that Al Gore tells us that human activity controls the climate every day. It's called climate change. And in fact, Al Gore and the climate alarmists directly tell us that we created Hurricane Harvey and all the other extreme weather events anyone sees. Weather modification, in other words, has become the de facto belief of climate alarmists. The entire mainstream media routinely insists that hurricanes, droughts, floods, snowstorms, and tornadoes are all unintentionally created by human activity. The key difference between Al Gore and the weather wars theories is that those who believe in weather wars insist these hurricanes are deliberately created, selectively amplified, and steered into selected targets. Al Gore believes hurricanes are created by man. In other words, and the weather wars theorists say they are precisely controlled and deployed as weapons of terrorism to inflict economic damage and achieve psychological goals involving terror and death. This claim seems absurd to most people at first glance, but there is a growing community of weather skeptics who insist that such events are not accidents, but weapons. In fact, there are at least two key patents that describe this technology in great detail, including a space-based power system that can alter weather elements, including hurricanes. One of the most popular sites asserting such claims is WeatherWar101.com. Again, that's WeatherWar101.com, whose author, a former network engineer, explains, "For 10 years, I have been proving the irrefutable reality of daily manufactured flash flood, deluge, and severe weather. If you can understand boiling water, you can understand where trillions of gallons of water vapor come from that create and fuel the daily trillion-gallon floods we see washing a different community away somewhere in the world. This isn't debatable. The site has published a 14-minute analysis of Hurricane Harvey, asserting that the hurricane was augmented by on-land water vapor generation from Texas, Louisiana, etc. The video description also states, it's also no coincidence that Hurricane Harvey is hitting the United States 25 years to the day after Hurricane Andrew hit Florida. Weaponized weather, it's a scary thought. There's no question, by the way, that weather modification technology exists and it is in widespread use across the globe. Weather control advocates are currently citing this U.S. patent 201-000-74390-A1 titled Method for Weather Modification and Vapor Generator for Weather Modification. The patent summary, simplified, describes a method for heating water to generate water vapor, jet it toward the sky, and create a cloud to block sunlight, thereby reducing the temperature at the Earth's surface. In summary, this enables a weather modification without discharging any greenhouse gas. U.S. patent 201-00224696A1 describes a space-based technology for generating and controlling hurricanes. The space-based power system maintains proper positioning and alignment of system components without using connecting structures. Energy from the space-based power system is applied to a weather element, such as a hurricane, and alters the weather element to weaken or dissipate the weather element. The weather element can be altered by changing the temperature of a section of a weather element, such as the eye of a hurricane, changing air flows, or changing a path of a weather element. And well, I must interject here, we heard reports about Hurricane Katrina that it turned around. What in the world is going on? Well, in his article, Jerry Tyson says, what have we learned from this? We are not talking conspiracy or lunatic fringe ideas when discussing weather modification technology. It is fact. Rainfall in the Middle East is often rare, creating problems for those who live in that part of the world. An article from SingularityHub.com describes the weather wizards of Dubai's use of advanced electronics to create rain. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's clever physics. And so, of course, they go on about how to create this rain. And he says, what can we conclude? Watch the 11 o'clock news, and it's often hard to tell the real from the made up. When the average person has no ability to determine what is true based on his own firsthand experience, he is forced to pay closer attention or accept lies as truth. Coupled with common sense, God's wisdom, and a moderate amount of research, some things can be labeled as fiction, others will emerge as irrefutable fact. The patent list cited earlier in this article is fact. The U.S. Patent Office does not award patents for good ideas, but for a proven technology, device, or process. Taken as a whole, and following the dots, we can see one direction weather technology has traveled. It has evolved over the last century to do more than predict tomorrow's weather. It has gotten to the point that it can change the natural course weather would take if left unhindered. And so now, in his conclusion, he's saying that it's possible that the general public will never know the extent of these types of weather modification techniques. And he says in Daniel 12:4 we read, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So the word of God is sure, Jerry Tyson says. We have a wonderful promise. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The frenzy of world leaders and scientists about global warming seems likely designed to manipulate minds and budgets. God lists seven things in Proverbs 6 that he hates. In verse 18, one of them is, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. We need to pray very hard for this country to repent. We need to pray for President Donald Trump, that God will lead him in the directions God wants. We pray for all of you, and please get this information out. Tell others to go to thedividedkingdom.org. Tell them to hear our program. God bless you. Good night.